Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 213 of the NLSC podcast. This week we have a rumor to discuss, an update on our modding community, and of course our week in basketball gaming to share with you. I'm Andrew, with you as always. I'm joined by Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
And Ben, I'm now the man of 100,000 posts in the NLSC forum.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. I appreciated your kind words of support in my lengthy release, or not release thread, my milestone thread, actually. Not releasing any work in there, I suppose. Releasing stories. I wrote some stories in there, which hopefully people are enjoying. But yes, so 100,000 posts. It's slightly more than your 7,002 posts that you have.
Yes.
So it's clear that one of us has more of a life than the other, and it's not me. So it's kind of funny to look back on. I remember, as I said in my thread, I remember when having the 10,000 posts was a big deal, and was like, wow, I 10,000 posts in the forum, and a few of us had a few thousand at that time. And very early on, I was not the post leader in that forum. Nick was actually slightly ahead of me in post count for a while, but I pulled that ahead, I guess, and I've been around running the site for 16, almost 17 years now. So, yeah, it's a lot of posts, but I don't regret being around the site and being active. I like being a visible admin so that people know who's running the site. And, yeah, I like getting involved in the discussions as well.
That's good. Well, yeah, I know my post rate has dropped off a lot, obviously, just sort of more focus on other things, but you know, just sort of more pop in here and there with some comments or updates and stuff and that. Yep. So I don't think I've nearly got more tweets than posts now. So
it's certainly social media related these days. But of course, we want to encourage the activity in the forum. I did mention that in my celebration thread, but you can go and check that out. I've got some stories about my time running the site, a bit of an open Q&A with myself. I came up with the questions, so I guess I was a little biased in that respect, maybe. But also sharing a few stories over the years, including the time we were hosted by GameSpy very early on in my running the site. And, yeah, that was a tough time for me. Sort of personally, sort of, and certainly with some of the decisions I made back then, a young man, a teenager, in fact, when I was first running the site, so not necessarily the best judgment in some cases and handling of situations, but if nothing else, some of the technical problems we had with GameSpy back in the day made running the site far less pleasant than it is now and that it became over the years. So, as I said at the end of that story, Ben, I'm kind of feel a bit of schadenfreude or vindication that GameSpy shut down in 2013 and we're still around, so we outlasted them, so I kind of feel a little bit smug about that. That's got the Big Bang Theory, you know, do I look smug? I feel smug. apologies to all those who do not like that particular sitcom. But yes, we are here to talk not about sitcoms as such, but in fact basketball, video games, and not really any basketball to talk about this week, Ben. That sort of all the moves have happened in the past couple of weeks. I don't think there's really anything to say about the real NBA this week.
No, there's probably like one or two little signings, but nothing really from memory worth noting too much about.
Nothing that we've really been paying attention to all that much, I suppose.
Yeah.
And of course, it is still that quiet period where we're waiting for the previous season to really tip off and explode with information. We did fear this, of course, that it was going to be some quiet weeks. But hey, we do have some things to talk about in the community and also some rumors, which is what we're going to start off the show with this week. And the rumors, Ben, are about the NBA Live 18 demo. And a couple of videos have been posted about this, including one by D-Boy Games, talking about a screenshot or a photo that was released that included a white...
Twitter.
Yeah, there was a post on Twitter, I should say, yes, that showed various dates, various timelines. It's from the EA representatives, from the community managers. And one of it is... one particularly piece of information that's relevant to us, of course, is the August 11th, this date that was marked with NBA. So the speculation is that this is either going to be the release date of the NBA Live 18 demo or maybe when it needs to be done. We were discussing this before the show, Ben, and either seems to be the possibility at this point.
Yeah, I think it's more likely the completion date for the demo. Submission date, I suppose, would probably be the term to put into like Sony and Microsoft. So mm-hmm. that's what I assume would be likely the case. I think because usually you have to take into account there's usually about a 2 week period for the QA part between Microsoft and Sony in that. So I'd imagine it'd be approximately about 2 weeks later, so maybe around the 24th, maybe 25th of when the game would actually potentially come out in that case.
The 11th place is on a Friday, which is usually not when new content comes out. New content comes out on a Thursday, usually, I believe.
Yeah, and I think, too, like having a month-long demo, as positive the reviews and all that have been and all that stuff so far from the EA Play and other events and stuff like that, I think a month long demo is a little bit too long. You know, I think a potentially 1 to 2 week long demo is probably the right length in terms of things. So I think that, you know, creates more the window for that total time period before the game comes out, sort of thing.
I agree. And I'm trying to think when the Live 16 demo came out, whether it was about, what was that, a month or was it just a couple of weeks? I've got a feeling it was close to 2 or 3 weeks.
I think it was around the 2 or 3 week mark as well. And yeah, I think that's a good length period, because then, yeah, I mean, I would say potentially like hurt sales in a negative sense. I think, you know, depending how many people play games and how often they play, you know, you could hurt sales in that. You know, people have had enough, big enough bite of the game and that sort of thing, or, you know, maybe, again, this is not trying to sound in any form negative, it's just maybe the attention span, or that other people will have other things that they need to do, or other games that there would be probably more of a priority, because sports genre may not be their one and all kind of thing. They might be, you know, a first-person shooter or a third-person adventure type thing. So, you know, depending on what other games.
You've got 2K18 as well coming out, so that's, you can be with another game that you don't want to have people too burned out if they've sort of played too much of it and leveled up their player, because that progress will carry across to NBA Live 18 as well. So yeah, it's certainly possible, and I guess you don't want to have it too far out, especially as you say, having that too much of a bite of the game, especially now that these days the demos that Live have been putting out, that EA have been putting out for Live, I should say, they are more substantial. You know, back in the day, we would just get those 2 quarters or maybe a full game with 2 minute quarters or whatever. But now that you are actually getting, I think the Elite 11 demo was the full fourth quarter of the game 7 of the 2010 finals from memory. But yeah, now that you can actually play full games and a little bit of the Rising Star, the One now that they're going to have, and probably some of the online as well, and exhibition games. Yeah, you don't want to overexpose the game too much, especially in demo form, when there's probably going to be some day one patches that resolve issues after the game's gone gold. So it definitely seems to be something to do with the NBA on August 11th. If it's not the demo, it could have simply be when information is being pushed through.
Yeah, you know, again, that will sort of fit within the time frame of that sort of thing. So I think essentially a good period when we'll start to really find out more. But I think potentially around the submissions, finalizing and submission date for either the demo or the full game, sort of maybe both, even you know, sort of getting the ball rolling for that. So
we do know that they're eyeing that date to do something. So whether it's rolling out more information, although it wouldn't surprise me if that's in the next couple of weeks that we start getting a little bit of info here and there. I do miss the days when we had a really long preview season where stuff was coming out every day. You know, that's we've said that before. But maybe it's that, or certainly something to do with the demo, either the demo being finalized and submitted, as you said, or coming out. It's, you know, whether it comes out on the Friday and gives people all weekend to play it. Either way, we basically circle August 11th on our calendar and wait and see.
Yeah. Well, I know that I got to sort of see the tweet briefly and all that stuff, and then it was taken down.
It wasn't meant to be. It was leaked. It was a leak. It wasn't meant to be. So
I did see it in my timeline, Simon, and I did see it in the timeline, but I didn't get to actually, and I saw the picture briefly, but I didn't get to obviously zoom in the picture and sort of see it full screen in that before before it was taken down. So it was sort of like the little preview sort of version within the tweet and all that.
Oh, okay.
So,
it's there in D-Board Games video.
Yeah, I got to see the video, and all, so when I did get sent the link to the video, I was like, okay, so that's why I couldn't actually see why the tweet was taken down so relatively quickly in that sense. So, yeah, it made sense at the time. I was like, because when I first saw it, I was like, why did they remove that? I was like, so, because, yeah, there was a lot of photos, like, well, the photo with, like, the community manager, I think, community managers and stuff like that, carrying a lot of Jordan Brand sneakers and stuff like that. And I was like, ooh, that's got my attention.
Absolutely, yeah. Pretty cool to see some behind-the-scenes stuff and get a bit of a leak, I guess, in this situation. Obviously taken down, you know, hopefully no one in serious trouble over that. It's just one of those things that happens, I guess. It's not exactly Michael Beasley with a bag of weed being tweeted out or Instagram, whatever that was, back in a few years ago.
Ulamar Odom. Not Ulamar Odom. Greg Oden.
Oh, yeah, that was a... well, you know, I guess that was an impressive leak of sorts, but... Mazel Tov and all that.
He had the tripod out for that one.
But yeah, dang. So yeah, we'll stay focused on August 11th, and hopefully some information comes through before then, and we're still reaching out and hoping to set up our interviews and such well ahead of the game coming out. And yeah, if nothing else, we'll get our hands on the demo sometime in August. They did say that, and I'm just trying to think now, did they say mid-August it would be coming out, or did they just say August? Because
I'm that's what I was trying to remember. It was like, did they say? It wouldn't. I cannot remember. I just remember August. But yeah, that was playing on my mind a bit too. So I admit I have to try and source back and look through to be sure myself. So yeah,
I'm just looking at the information that I got and put in our wiki article. Of course, we, as always, invite people to help out with the wiki. At EA Play 2017, a demo of NBA Live 18 was confirmed for August. That's okay, so that's the only information I had to go on at the time. I'm not sure if there's any other information that's come through since, but we know the demo is coming out in August, so whether that's, again, the finalization and the submission for the demo, when that's coming out, well, something's happening August 11th, I guess, so we mark the calendar and hope that we have something to talk about in between now and then. If not, sounds like we'll actually have something to talk about as of August 11th. So,
and it's actually a month away for it.
And the way the year is going, yeah, that's going to be here very quickly. Just about a month, and as you say, and pretty quickly that'll fly by, I'm sure. Quick update on our modding community, Ben. There's been some great work for NBA 2K17 as the NLSC community roster has been finally released for NBA 2K17 PC. That's the 2017 version. They've got final season rosters for that, Ben, and they've done all the work with the with the rotations, with the ratings, the badges. A lot of work has gone into that to really get the best gameplay experience possible. 27 season is out now, the 2018 version, with the off-season trades and signings, and obviously this year's rookie crop. That's still being worked on. I believe that's coming out very soon, depending on when this goes up on the YouTube channel, I suppose, that you might already be out, but I don't think it's imminent at this stage. It is still being worked on, though. Obviously, a huge project, the off-season rosters. I can attest from personal experience, Ben, that those off-season rosters take a long time to do.
I would imagine.
all the rookies you've got to create and move around, and you're trying to work out all the ratings and update Years Pro, all that kind of stuff. So, and they've obviously put in some great work already with the 2017 version. You can check out the release thread in the releases and previews section, all the information of where you to go on a 2K share to get that, and also the extra files for faces and everything as well. So check that out. And if you're on PS4, you can also get updated off-season rosters. Skills from the Six is still updating his off-season rosters very quickly. In fact, he's getting, I think, new versions out practically every day from the looks of the previews he's posting in our releases and previews section. So he's really staying on top of that, and that's awesome.
That's good to hear.
And if you're playing NBA 2K14 and NBA 2K13 on PC, one or two, or both of them, I suppose, Sco Adam and Slim44 and Pat the Head have been working hard on various retro and current roster updates. The new versions of UR Basketball, URB, that is out as well, with the updated off-season transactions, doing a lot of other cool stuff as well, and retro season mods, just like the Ultimate Base roster for 2K14 and 2K12. So definitely check that out if you're still playing the older games on 2K14 on PC, I should say, 2K14 and 2K13. As we said the other week when we had the modding update, lots of great stuff still being made for the older games, and it is fun, as we said, to go back and edit the old favorites and challenge yourself to bring them up to date as much as you can.
Yeah, that sort of nostalgia play and stuff like that. Yeah, just sort of tied into like Throwback Thursday and stuff, so yeah.
Or
Flashback Fridays, so yeah.
And there are communities that are still updating Commander Keen for the PC, the old platformer, the classic game, and they've made some great mods for that game. I know I haven't really been involved in that community or anything, but I've seen some of the add-ons they've made, and they've basically made new episodes of the game. Way back in, I think it was 1992, when Commander Keen 5 came out, it kind of ended on a sort of a cliffhanger, or it was a tease for a next trilogy of games that came out, and id Software eventually never came to fruition. So people have made these fan games modding the originals of Commander Keen 4 and 5 and basically making these brand new stories and unofficially continuing the story. So it's really cool.
Oh, nice. That would mean good to sort of follow up and keep on. I don't know if I ever got to play that game. I heard of it before, but I've never actually, don't think I've ever got to play it.
It's, yeah, man, it was one of the classic IBM compatible games back in the day from id Software. Because originally they wanted to do a port of Mario 3 for the PC, and that fell through, and they ended up making Commander Keen out of it, and a great series, obviously. And yeah, it's one of my favorites. It's available on Steam, actually, if you wanted to check it out for a couple of bucks.
Okay. So,
and I believe the mods are all compatible with that Steam version. It's because it just uses DOSBox to emulate DOS for it. So,
okay.
Yeah, in fact, they even did, there's even been a remake of Keen Dreams, the spin-off game. There's like a like HD version, or as much as it can be a HD version, but certainly kind of remastered a little bit. So yeah, definitely interested in those old games. I mean, retro gaming is big these days. It's usually not seen as sports gaming that much, but you know, it's still pretty big in our community. People still playing the old games, the old favorites, and such a challenge to bring them up to date, or an enjoyable challenge, I should say, to bring them up to date and still play them, even when some of them are a little bit outdated in gameplay and features and whatnot. But still. You know, I did it for years. I haven't been doing it in recent years because I've been focusing on other content, but a lot of people are still doing it, and we absolutely salute them.
Yeah, for sure. It keeps, especially with the Archimedes Internet, it keeps it alive, and yeah, so respect to that.
Gives me file additions to post, so gives us content to share in our community, so definitely appreciate what our modding community is doing all around, for not just for 2K17 and 2K18 when it comes out, no doubt, but also the old favorites as well. But, you know, that's actually all the news, I guess, we have this week. We don't really have much NBA stuff to talk about, so we won't be at the end of the show, as we sometimes and mostly do, I guess. But with all the news and the rumors out of the way, it's time to talk about our week in basketball gaming.
Alley-oop! Oh, what a play! It looks simple, but it's hard to execute.
Good news, everyone. That's a terrible impression of Professor Farnsworth, but I didn't even really try. But we do have good news in terms of Pro-Am. Usually we're wringing our hands and saying what a tough session it was, but man, what a great session it was last week, Ben.
Yeah, it was surprising that we were actually able to get on a good flow.
First in a while.
Yeah, it's felt like forever since. So, and there was a couple of games where one of us or two of us weren't shooting particularly well, but we were still able to get the wins, so mm-hmm. that was fantastic in that sense. And we were 4-1, so we got revenge on that team that got the win on us, so
mm.
And yeah. we came from behind to win that one too, so they would have been pretty salty about that one.
Oh, it would have been, they probably would have been swearing as much as we normally do and did, yeah. Occasionally. Because there were still moments, I mean, you're competitive, you're in it, you want to win, something doesn't go your way, we definitely do grumble to ourselves, to say the least. But it was a pretty strong session, and as you said, we had the one loss, and we thought we'd give it. Usually when that happens, that's our, we played one game too many, let's call it quits.
Well, yeah.
But I think it wasn't too late, so it was you, Leo, and I, Valor, and we thought, okay, we want to sort of end on a better note. This time,
yeah.
It was still fairly early. We'll give it one more shot, and I'm glad we did, because we played that team again, managed to get the revenge, as you said, after coming in that comeback win. A couple of the wins we actually came back from deficits to win. We had some really good poise and clutch performances last week. It the execution was really good.
Yeah, which was fantastic in that sense. Yeah, usually when we've been in those situations before, and you know, and then we'll have what feels like this endless run of where, like, these weird turnovers would happen, or just shots wouldn't fall, and
right, like the old comeback logic, I think, in some of the old NBA Live games, it would feel like sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that was like in the case of the week before when we were playing, like, we had some of those circumstances circumstances happen, and I think we didn't handle them as well. We didn't seem to have them occur as much or interfere enough in terms of us playing that we were actually able to get. Yeah, the 4 out of 5 wins. So,
and the thing that I felt quite proud about for us doing it, you know, it's hard to do it with 3-on-5, which is what we played, or at least 3-on-4 a couple of times, I'm pretty sure. I know a couple of times players dropped out. We did have one win where they forfeited, which we'll get to in a sec, because that was a quite interesting, an interesting situation, Ben, even. But yeah. The comeback we mounted, and even the games that we won where we didn't have to come back from a deficit, the fact that we're doing it with the perimeter players and wing players, because it's very hard to do that online without a big, usually. That's been our big problem, I guess, in Pro-Am this year, is not having the glass cleaner and the inside presence that, if nothing else, can just gobble up the offensive rebounds and just put back dunks. I mean, that's the killer in Pro-Am when you've got a going up against a 7-footer, which we don't have. So the fact that we were actually able to chip away at the lead, it helped that the AI was not useless for once. It was.
Yeah, I think in particularly in that was that first game, and it was the one that they quit, where we had some like really great AI.
Yeah,
on both ends of the court. It wasn't like they were pretty good on one end or just average on our end, and then good on the other. So that's a rarity where we get that. I think it's only maybe happened 2-3 times before that I can remember for this year.
Yeah, and being that the bigs can be so cheesy, relying on AI bigs is a way to heartbreak quite often.
Yeah.
But you remember at the beginning of that first game that we won, and we got into this big lead. I think it's our execution was amazing. Like, I was the only one missing shots, and there was like a couple of layups that went awry, basically.
Yeah, I think we were like 25-6.
Yeah, we were just really just blasting right through to the second quarter when they just suddenly started quitting, which was disappointing. We wanted to pad our stats.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a terrible record compared to us. Yeah. So it was a bit surprising that they did.
They had our, like, normal weeks. They had one of those games.
Yeah, we've been on the other side. So on one hand, I can kind of sympathize with them, but at the same time, we've always played that out. So, yeah, I hate it when... Take the L, hold this L. You know, we all have tough games. But anyway, we wanted to pad our stats, but that was a bit hard to do in just a quarter and a half. But I did record the whole game and share that with you guys, the footage, which was fun to replay. But you remember the AI had that hanging layup? Like, it went up and sort of did that double pump and did the layup. Because
yeah.
We thought, why is he not dunking? Oh, that was pretty spectacular anyway. And that was pretty cool. And yeah, the other games went pretty well. The comeback wins... Finishing on the win, and we all decided, okay, that it was getting late anyway, but yeah, that's the game. That's the one we finished on. We went 4-1, pretty good record for the night when we've had some pretty tough sessions in previous weeks. And the fact that we all kind of had stats, good stats here and there, and it got the win, got the revenge on the team that beat us after, you know, so no rubber match. That's fine. We got our revenge. We're happy with that.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, because I don't think Leo scored less than 25, except in the game when we only played a quarter and a half, and you had the big scoring as well.
There was like, I think the two last games I didn't shoot great. I think the second last game I was 3 of 13, and in the final game I was 3 of 11.
Mm.
But you know, I think I got some free throws, and I was able to get a lot of rebounds, and I remember that first game I was getting a lot of assists. I think, you know, actually the first two games in particular, I was getting a lot of assists. So.
Yeah, there was one where we all kind of... there was one where I actually had more points than Leo. There was one that I had more points than Leo, and he tied me in assists. And he remarked at the time how weird that was, that he tied me in assists and I beat him in points.
Yeah.
I think that was the only other one that he scored less than 25, because I think I had 20 and he had 18. And that was just one where we were just all sharing the ball, because I think you had 5 assists as well. Like, we all had at least 5 or 6 assists.
I think that second game I had 7.
Yeah.
I was potentially, and I think I had 6 rebounds or something like that. So I was almost potentially going to try and flirt with a triple double and that. But I think every game, I think a minimum of 2 blocks. I think that was that one game where I had 3, maybe 4.
You had that one that sent it into the stands, which was pretty good.
Yeah. I was still trying to compare that one to the one that I swear was surely has to be a goaltend where I pinned it halfway up, like above the what would have been the inner square of the backboard where I pinned it against that. That was a ridiculous block. If it was legitimate, like, well, the fact that the no goaltending was called and that it just sort of came out of nowhere, and to get that high up, I was like, holy crap, practically jumped out the gym for that one.
Was it last week or the week before we had a goaltend called against us, or we didn't have a goaltend?
I think it was the previous week.
I looked at it and was like, that's not a goaltend. That is clean. That is on the way up and not through the rim or anything. So we didn't get screwed over too badly in that. And I actually thought I might even get a triple-double at one point with assists, points, and steals, because I had 6 steals in the game, which I've had some big steals games in my career, but against the CPU, that happens a lot. But a lot of interceptions, I was almost being an AI in some of those interceptions I was getting. I managed to get the 6 to go along with the 14 assists and 17 points. That was a big game. So I enjoyed that, and it's fun when we sort of all have at least one big game over the course of a night, especially when we had the 4 or 5 of us playing. But we had the 3 of us, and we all had some pretty big numbers, and it made me think, okay, yeah, going to get a bit more life out of 2K Pro-Am yet.
Yeah, if we have more nights like that, I can definitely enjoy playing a lot longer in that sense. And
almost right through to 2K18 if it keeps up like that. I mean,
yeah, but if it plays like what it had been the previous weeks, and that it was like, yeah, no, I think we even like we said thought, after a couple of sessions, like, that's
might,
it for
might
me.
Be done. Yeah, we took a bit of a break as well, and that helped. The break helped, as we said in a previous show a couple of months back. But I want to end on a good note, basically. When it does come, like that last week before the 18 games come out, then I hope we can kind of end on a pretty decent session, and that last game, just have a really good game where we all kind of do our thing with the assists and the scoring and everything, and a victory, so that we can might have to record that whole game. Actually, have to put the 60 minutes on the PS4 record settings and just get that whole last game if it turns out to be a good one. Yeah, that'd be cool. Chuck it up on the YouTube channel. take ages to upload, but still, it might be worth might be worth doing all the same.
The Xbox One still only does like 5 or 7 minutes, doesn't it, of recording?
I'm not sure. I guess if you've got a capture card, though, it doesn't really matter one way or the other. But
because that I was just thinking, if we had gone that route instead of the PS4 option, it'd be a lot harder to do that kind of recording stuff without having to obviously spend the extra money on getting the capture card. And given that the Xbox console was more dearer than the PS4 option, so. Yeah, that would have been.
Oh, I definitely don't regret my choice going with PS4. I mean, I love my PS2. I went 360 on the previous generation because of the availability of NBA Live 06 and 07, and also the cost at the time. But I'm perfectly happy with the PS4 this generation. No regrets there at all.
Yeah, for sure. And again, this was not to be like any sort of mocking. I was just sort of like in terms of fanboyism. It was just. Yeah. For what we would have been doing with regards to Prime and how Kenny recorded a lot of the sessions and all that stuff, so a lot of the games and that earlier in the year and all that. So it just, if we'd gone that route, it would have been a lot harder to do what we had done. So I'm glad we all went the route that we did to make it. We actually might have some potential additions to the team.
Which always helps, because a couple of times we've wanted to play, and that's when we've gone to My Park, and that hasn't always worked out well. Especially 2-on-2 in My Park has not been well. It would be okay if we had a big and a 3-point shooter.
But yep.
Especially when it's you and I, and
we're both playmakers.
We're both playmakers, and not neither of us being 7 foot. it does get hard in my park, but 3-3 works pretty well when we've had Kenny or even Leo as a shooting guard. So
yeah,
so I guess we'll play a bit more pro-am over the following weeks, but it won't be long until 2K18 comes out, and then I guess it's grinding it all up again, getting those badges and trying to get. And hopefully, I wrote the article, the Monday tip-off this week, I wrote about the customization in Pro-Am in the future, and I don't know if you had a chance to read it.
But yeah, I did.
You did? That's good. Just quickly recapping that, I guess, the idea of making it a little bit easier to qualify for the customization, if they're going to do it that way again. But the main
also more transparent.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were people who didn't get to Elite until they'd won 90 games, some only had to win 20. Depending on the record, we got Elite. We had a losing record at the time, but it just sort of happened very randomly for a couple of games, and then we lost it. Then we got it back again, and
lost it. Got it back.
So we don't have it at the moment. Can you still edit things after unlocking it, or is it gone now?
It did look like I could do some form of editing when I got some screenshots for you.
Yeah,
I might have a tinker. And sort of see if...
Like, if it still does the image importing, like, once you unlock it, whether it stays unlocked, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because
I think I did try previously, like, a couple of months ago, because I have updated some of the Dawners and stuff like that, and the banners around the court, so... But, yeah, it didn't allow me to...
If you can do Dawners, yeah, maybe, yeah.
But I really want to have our jerseys a little bit more closer to what... Obviously, the LLC gear is stuff that I want made up as well. So, I want to try and get that done. But if not, I can always save it for 2K18.
Yeah, and hopefully they do change that. Because I understand that they might have done that to give people incentive to play and to avoid people just jumping on and immediately making some really inappropriate branding or something. We saw plenty of that in 2K16, so I understand. But it's just simply the fact they didn't have a consistent standard. And they didn't really answer the question. So you'd ask them, well, what's the amount of games you need to win and all this stuff? A lot. You got to have a good record. Like, well, tell us what that is. You know, it's that transparency. And we've talked about that with Visual Concepts before. That sometimes they're not very forthcoming with that information when it really should be. So that is something I want to see improved. And also, of course, not having the colored jerseys, the solid color jerseys for the home team, you know, making a primarily white jersey for the home team, because just too many teams we've played have had blue home jerseys or colored home jerseys, jerseys of some color, and it's just clashed with our road jerseys because we're following the traditional method, and
yeah.
when you do that, it just makes it harder, and also court designs that make it harder to see the indicators and things like that. It's kind of cheap as well, so. Normally, I'm against restrictions, as I said. I like it to be as free as possible, but I think some reasonable rules in design concepts, design standards in that respect.
Yeah, well, even in that article that you brought up about the whole jersey option, like having like the jersey select screen and that, like you do when you're playing like normal pro, like home and away games in either, you know, play now or my career modes and all that stuff, where you can select which jersey you wear. So, you know, you can avoid having that color clash.
Absolutely, if that's at all feasible. And if not, simply being able to have the presets. I mean, if you were able to have a few presets for the NLSC jersey, like say you made some retro ones or some red alternates, because, you know, our old colors were red back in the day. And instead of having to completely remove a design, if you could have a couple of presets for home and away jerseys, even if you said as the team owner, okay, let's all play with these jerseys, and you just switch them out before a game, for a session or something, you know, that would be cool to do that. We could have alternate court designs. And then when you want to go back to the old jerseys, you just switch to the other preset. So even that would work if that was a more feasible solution than having the selection menus. But I would like to see those extra options just in there because it is such a big part of it. And even though I like the fact that Live is doing something different with Live Pro-Am and the One and the Streets and all that, the squad options and the customization in 2K Pro-Am is something I've really come to like, and it's been really awesome and enhanced that mode.
Yeah, and you know, that for me gives me something that I could contribute in terms of design elements and that. So, you know, that's the thing I get to enjoy aside from just having the social fun with you guys and that. So, yeah, that's what keeps me interested in that mode and in terms of it, especially how they hyped it up for when they released 2K16 and that.
Yep.
Was so easy to access. And there's a few things in terms of what you can edit. Like, there's a few extra things you can edit compared to 2K16 and that, which is great. But yeah, that restriction feature element does bother me a bit. And so, yeah, there'd be a couple of things that I'd like to see fixed in regards to that too. To make it sort of accessible and not so confusing into how you get to what to unlock everything and that.
Definitely, yeah. It's leaving you wondering and having these strange standards, because again, people got elite at really different ways and numbers of wins and numbers of games played, so it really needs to be consistent and transparent, as I said in the article. I was going to ask, do we have the Disco Stew banner? Because I know we've got the two Thrill House ones. The
that was in 2K16. I can add it in for 2K17.
Yeah, because that's a pretty good one. And the fact that it is an advertising donor with Disco Stew doesn't advertise on it. Right?
Yeah, and it's got his name tag.
we've got Thrill Ho, welcome Thrill Ho. And my mum says I'm cool with him getting hit in the face. I have to share those images on our social media, I think.
And there's a second one. I'm thinking, because there's a little bit of space in the second one where it's got Thrill House, and then it's sort of like a side view of us playing the game and that. So I'm thinking of adding in the quote. It's like, this is great, and all I've done is just enter my name.
Yeah.
So it leads into the Thrill House.
This is great, and all we're only just pro level.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm thinking of doing that, and if I can do that, if we can still do some editing, I'll quickly
Disco
do
Stew,
that.
Just so the Disco Stew will advertise at least in the NLSC Community Center arena, I suppose. Now, of course, switching gears now with 2K Prime is attached to my career. Of course, that's how you grind up the for badges and improve your player and everything. That you've actually been playing a bit of my career. I've been taking a bit more of a break, haven't played any games for a while, but you have actually played recently.
Yeah, I've been had a few more games in just on, I think I was on Saturday last week. I think it was buoyed by the good result we had in Prime. It was just sort of,
what did you play?
Yeah. And then everyone was kind of busy. I had a couple of things. I played that extra game against the Nets, got the win, and then I played... Who was it that I played afterwards? I can't remember if it was the Suns or something like that, but yeah, it was another team after. I obviously got the win there. So I think I'm 16 or 17 and 1 at this stage.
Good start, yeah.
Yep. And about two or three games ahead of the Cavaliers in the East. Still averaging a triple-double, something like... nearly 43 points a game.
It's funny. Like I'm averaging big numbers as well, even though we both put the difficulty up to increase the challenge. Obviously, and I think the only thing that's really been an issue is the fouls and fewer steals. Like points and everything. I guess once you're maxed out at 95, you've got pretty good numbers for my career, so you tend to...
And actually, I stand corrected, it was actually the Grizzlies that I played. That's
Grizzlies,
right.
Yep, okay.
Yep.
Western team, yeah.
Yep, so got a good win there. I think I was just short of the triple-double, but still with the... Or did I get it in the end? I have to double-check. That was a pretty good game. And then... later in the day, actually in the nighttime in that year, I was eager for a bit more Prime to try and just to see if we could have the same sort of night we did the previous night. So, but yeah, everyone was kind of busy. X and I were ready to play, but we obviously didn't have a third because you were out, and Valor doesn't usually play on Saturday because he's got a
Union and such, yeah.
Made it good, and ZZ was away on vacation, so that made it a bit tricky. So I was like, all right, something to do. I went back to my sort of fantasy Miami Heat team. I still got to actually add two more players. I got to see if I can add them, see if they're still in the rosters to be able to do it. Oh, I know one should be, so I should should add him to it, which is Rashad Lewis and Tim Hardaway. There's two players I got to add to my roster.
Okay.
To sort of like finalize it, mainly because like the whole Rashad Lewis and Ray Allen dynamic duo when they're in Seattle and that, and then so when they got to join Miami, that was like kind of like a yay, I could actually incorporate them into the team. So
that's right, yeah.
So yeah,
I think they might actually be available if you had the PC version. I think they're available in D4 3's Ultimate Fantasy Draft roster for the PC version. So
okay, yeah. Well, I think Rashad Lewis would be in the 2012 team, and that was so I just forgot to add him.
Yeah, he would be.
Or 2014,
2013 team. Yeah, yeah. Tim Hardaway, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I was wondering.
He might be available in my team. I think he's available in my team, but not.
Do they have the Golden State Warriors or the Canucks? Because they don't have Weber, do they?
Actually, they do have the 91. No, he is the 91 Golden State Warriors. He would be on that one. Yeah.
Okay, so
I've totally forgot. Yeah.
So that'll be my workaround. I'd say that's what I'll do. But yeah, it was just decided to get a game in that and decided to sort of do something different. So I decided to stream it. I tried to stream it on YouTube, but it didn't work. So I tried twice, and I was like, all right, let's go to Twitch. So I streamed it on Twitch, and then had a couple of people watching, and then made the interesting comment because my cat was on my bed snoring, like he pretty much probably is now. I'm not too sure if you can hear it on the mic, but made mention of that during the stream in that. And then,
you were doing commentary as well, where you had the...
Yeah, I had the mic on and that, and out of nowhere, I get... but I'm not your cat, and I'm not on your bed or something, and that was our very own Jasmine.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of cool, and I was like, hey. And so, I finished playing that game. I think it was like 5 or 6 minute quarters that I was playing, and then he asked me, do you want to play some online? So yeah, I was like, yep, sure. So continuing the stream, and then we decided to play against each other and that, and yeah, so it was good catching up with him and having the chat and playing. We played two games. We played the current teams that we like. So I was Miami and he was Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I was up for most of that first game, and then I just kind of fell apart and lost it in the end. So I was a bit disappointed. Second game, I think it was the 2014 Miami Heat. And then he was the 08 Celtics.
Oh, yes, yep. So the champion, well, 2013's the champion versus champion, yep.
Yeah, yep. And then, John did really well on that one. And I don't know if it was because of the stream or anything, but I started to get some bit of lag issues or response issues in terms of things. Like there was an instance where it was just after John had scored, and I inbounded, and I pressed inbound, and... From there, the game literally had a mind of its own where the ball handler actually ran up the court a bit and then passed it. And then the guy I passed it to ended up shooting a three. And I was like, but I had nothing to do with that. My left hand, my left and my right hand were only on the, the handheld part, like the, on the PS, on the DualShock 4, like the sort of,
just like the handles, I guess. The
hand, yeah, the handle part. Like just
for lack of a better word.
Yeah, just on the bottom part of that, like I'd actually taken my hand completely off the top of the controller, so there was nothing touching the analog sticks or the buttons.
Hmm.
And when that happened, so that really threw me off. And there was a couple of instances of things like that happening, which was surprising. So, and when that play had happened, that's kind of like, hang on, it's because it happened a couple of times before, like little things, and I was like, well, I had no control in that play, so that was kind of throwing me. I was wondering. I hadn't turned SharePlay on, so no one else had access to my controller. And like one of the features of PlayStation 4, you can actually have other people sort of play for you in that sort of sense.
Yeah.
So there was none of that. John asked, you know, had I had the buttons texture mapped, or I was changed the buttons to do other things. So I was like, no, everything's default. Everything's set to absolute. So yeah, there was just some weird little quirky moments. And again, I don't know if it was because of the stream, like the... latency because of that sort of thing.
Australian broadband connections, even with NBN coming in, have not been particularly kind with that stuff. So
yeah, that's true. So
it's possible. I mean, you look at some of the issues we've had in Pro-Am when one of us has had lag, or or when we've gotten on the US server, it's been pretty tough. So,
but John also would have had some lag because it was on my Australian server and that. So
yeah. So
we both would have had some issues in that. But yeah, I did notice it, and it did sort of throw me in a lot of cases because, given the times when we've had the lag issues, it's usually like frame rate stuff. So you sort of, but it didn't feel like that kind of laggish or anything. Like, it didn't have that kind of same feel to it. It was just weird responses in terms of the...
Just the input didn't seem to match.
Yeah, exactly. That sort of threw me for a bit. And was sort of more trying to investigate it in that throughout the game, and so I lost focus in playing it when things weren't working out in that sense. But John had me beat in that game as well, like a lot more. So, we'll credit him. It was good catching up with him and good playing with him.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can do it soon.
Yeah. No. Of course, he's got the big, so we need to get him. You need to get him in Pro-Am a bit more because he has the.
Yeah, I know.
He has the bigs. With his triple doubles sometimes, and I think he's got one or two. I think Kenny has the most with three this year in the Pro-Am. I've been doing, I guess, less exciting things with basketball gaming actually this past week. Aside, obviously, from anything I've been doing to get the screenshots and whatnot for articles. Actually, I've been doing a bit of filming this week, Ben, with just getting some footage of things for like the pack openings and everything for the video. Yep. I want to do. So I finally got around to that. So I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome.
It's funny because you'll see I don't appear with my face on camera, but my left hand appears on camera. and I realized with the close of my left hand, you can see the two scars on my thumb. That's going to look a bit awkward, I guess, to see the scars where I cut them cut my thumb as a child. But looking forward to doing some stuff with that. I got the promotional copy of NBA 2K12 off of eBay, the offered resale that was ended up for sale on eBay. So I got that. It was all sealed, so I've got an unboxing video. I'll kind of on that the promotional copy just to see what all that was about. So I won't spoil that. I'll leave that to the probably it's going to be a Way Back Wednesday feature, that one. And I did the card pack, real card pack openings for the My Team versus Real Card packs. That's going to be, I think people are going to be hopefully entertained and interested to see the results of that, because it was interesting results seeing the actual My Team packs versus the real card packs, the quality of the cards I got in both.
I was going to say, was it lit?
There were some lit cards in that pack, I have to admit. But speaking of opening card packs, as far as doing the real ones, I've been also grinding my way through NBA Playgrounds to try and get more packs to get the players and upgrade players and finish out the collection. And I've been using a method that Tico Iztikori has described on YouTube. And it's basically to have the shortest length game of exhibition games, which is just first to 10 wins, and just playing as many games as possible, often while I'm on the exercise bike, actually, to kill two birds with one stone, a bit of exercise, while also doing a bit of grinding in the game. And it's a bit repetitive, obviously, because you're just playing with the same players, but it's a good opportunity to level up the players. I've been working on leveling up Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. It's been a pretty good duo, and... because they've both got great three-point ratings in the game, basically, first to 10, if you can get 3 3-pointers down, because if you get the first three-pointer down, that's 4 points, the 3 plus the 1. And a couple of times I've had the first three go down with a perfect release, so that's a 5-point play. And then just a couple more shots, and then that's you finish the game in a couple of minutes, basically. So it's a good way to just keep grinding, but it's a long process. And once you hit 50, you actually keep... you get a gold pack each time, and they've got a higher chance of legendary players and players that you're missing and everything. So I've got over 100 players at the moment. I've got less than 150. I know that simply because I haven't got the 150 trophy yet. So still plenty to go, I guess. And I've got the Sonics Peyton and the Cavs Kemp. So that's weird. I'd like to team them up, but I kind of want to get the Sonics Kemp with the higher dunk ratings and everything. Yep. And grind them up together. But that's what I've been doing, just been grinding that. And I hate to say it, because I was so happy and so complimentary when NBA Playgrounds was announced and they said that we're not going to have microtransactions. But part of me wishes there were microtransactions in the game so that I could buy a couple of card packs, like a box of guards like you can in my team in 2K17 and just sort of open some packs. Because it does take, let's see, you get 100 XP each win in exhibition. And of course, if you're playing online, you get more XP from playing online. But I haven't really been playing. We should play some games online. We could level up very quickly, I reckon. And they're doing it exhibition ways. Even if you turn up the difficulty, it's still, you don't get any more XP. So that's one thing I'd say, that if you're playing on the highest difficulty level, you should get a bit bonus XP to level up a bit quicker. Because you get 100, so it's about 10 games, I think, to get up at each level. So it is a bit of a grind, but if you do put it down to the first to 10, you can do it a bit quicker. So it gets a bit repetitive, but at the same time, you try and do different things and grind up different level up different players to get all the moves, get them to gold level. And that keeps things kind of interesting and different. But yeah, I'm hoping they do add some more content in terms of the dunk contest and three-point shootout they were talking about, more tournaments, more challenges. It is, I think, the problem with Playgrounds is there's not quite enough offline content. Once you've finished all the tournaments, you've kind of got to play through them again. And when you've got so many players to unlock and you can get so many doubles in the packs, that is the other problem, is that you can double up. And of course, you do get the XP for the player to level them up when you do get repeats, but it's only 100 XP each time. So it's kind of a slow process to unlock all the players, and you've got a bit repetitive. So they really need some more offline content. But from the looks of it, the way they're adding things and the way they've got all these extra slots for teams, it looks like they could keep updating this game for years. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so potentially worth trusting the process?
Could be worth trusting the process. Speaking of which, I think I've actually got all of the 76ers players in nice. Playgrounds. So, and I upgraded Allen Iverson to Max as well. And I've got Sun Shaq. But the thing is, you've got to get the Shaq for each team, and you've got to grind up each Shaq individually as well. So that's that's quite a slog. But I do believe they have different ratings depending on the era they represent. So they get a Lakers Shaq, that's going to be a pretty good card as well. I believe a lot of people play online with Curry and Shaq, which does cause some complaints in the group. It's kind of seen as the cheesy duo, but I tell you, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, not too bad. I mean, they don't really have the blocking ratings, but you can still swat a few shots. And yeah, with that three-point rating, I think Larry is 9 and 9, 9 for 3s and 9 for 2s, and Magic Johnson's 8 for 3s and 10 for 2s. So
okay,
they knock down shots pretty well. So
I bet.
So that's basically what I've been doing. Pro-Am, of course, as I said, been taking part in that. But yeah, just doing what I can and playing the occasional old game here and there for Wayback Wednesday and the other features, or simply just to get a screenshot. I like to get the best screenshots possible when I do my written features. But yeah, more videos are going to be on the way when I can put aside the time, Ben, because I've got some footage that I'm sitting on now so that I can start putting it together. Just a matter of recording outside the podcast as far as the voiceovers. And that's when I can do multiple takes and not flub as often as I do on the podcast. But yeah, I guess that's about all for me. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we wrap up with a quick plug?
At the moment, today the NLSC t-shirts arrived.
Yep.
Or the long sleeve shirts arrived.
Yep, yep. So we'll wrap up that then, yep. So
yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry, I wasn't too sure. I thought for a second, it's like, wait, did you mean gaming-wise, or did you mean just in general? So I went for the just in general approach in the end.
Yeah, no worries. It's we basically talked about our week in basketball gaming. We don't have any NBA stuff to talk about, as we said. So we do have a quick plug for everyone, though, and it's good news about our apparel, Arcane apparel, in fact.
Yeah, it's finally here. I'm wearing one of the shirts now, and it is comfortable as hell. The sizing is a lot better than I thought. Like, in terms for big men like myself, like when I did a quick measurement of shirts and that from the measurements that I had from factory and that, I was like, okay, so it'll roughly be about the same size as a certain long sleeve shirt I got just a couple of weeks ago and that. But it's actually a bit bigger than that, which is great. A little bit wider too, so you have a bit of room, and there's actually a lot of sleeves, like room in the sleeves and that, so it's not a slim fit. The sleeves are actually quite long, so for someone that as tall as me who does have difficulty trying to find clothes that fits properly, it actually fits me really well in a double XL. So really happy with that. The quality of it is looking really nice. I posted some quick photos on the Arcane team apparel or Arcane uniforms Twitter handle. Some stuff will be going up on Facebook. I have posted in the forum in the NLSC hub part, but Photo Bucket's doing some weird stuff with third party stuff, and I tried looking into that, and I don't want to pay for Photo Bucket to be able to unlock it. So
I just use Imgur.
Yeah, so I'm looking at potentially going a different route now with regards to that, which is a shame because I've been using Photo Bucket since basically forever when I first really joined the community and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was the go-to for screenshots and things back in the day. Externally hosted screenshots.
You know, and I got like 3 Photo Bucket accounts actually in regards to for all the NLSC stuff so that I've done over the years. So yeah, it kind of sucks if I have to look elsewhere to something that is potentially more easy access for free use than that. So yeah, it kind of sucks in that sense. But if it has to be done, it has to be done. Just so you know, just images don't become hidden or unable to access because of this whole third party thing that they got going. In regards to the Shopify link, I did close down the site. I wasn't really getting orders going through on that, and the 14-day trial was coming to an end. I'm gonna look around still while I build, like still building the site, and even though yes, I have been a web developer, there's some e-commerce stuff that I've not done before, so I want to be sure that there's some security stuff, there's a feature that I want to do for my site again. Not something I've done before, so this is something that I'll have to technically outsource to in terms of, you know, whether a good friend of mine is able to do it or do I have to look around in terms of that. So I'm hoping to have the website up properly, so that way I'm hoping within the next 3 to 6 months is when I'll probably have something significant in terms of its own sites. But I might look into having a potential, if there's like another site like Shopify kind of thing, I might do that if I can get like another couple of day or couple of week trial, free trial of that. So if people want to do the order that way, if not, again, email me at arcaneuniforms@gmail.com if you want to order it. And you know, I can have all the sizing information, give you the pricing information, and give you a quote for postage and stuff like that. So again, with the postage stuff, if there was a couple of things you wanted to order, say you wanted like one of the custom jerseys with your username and number on it, you know, and you wanted one of the shirts as well but didn't feel like the postage was good, like obviously a value enough for just the one item. So if you wanted to order the jersey and then I send them both out to you at the same time, you know, that way the shipping, you know, is more balanced, to say, between like the couple of items instead of just the one item. We can look at doing that sort of stuff. But yeah, there's some more stuff in the works at the moment that's coming in. But yeah, the stuff is ready. It looks good. And I'll have some proper photos. Because I took them on my deck and it's the light streaking from what's the of some of the, I'm trying to remember what they're called now, lattice and stuff, that's the word I'm looking for, lattices on my deck, and that sort of make the lighting not so great, so where it's just like shadow and stuff interfering with it, so you don't really get a nice clean look of it. So I'll set something up properly where it's better lighting and so cleaner photos in that sense. So but yeah, they're all ready to go and that. So if you are interested, again, reach out to me on arcaneuniforms@gmail.com for now, and I can start shipping them out to people.
Great. And again, yeah, you've already posted the posted the previews on at Arcane Apparel. We've retweeted some of those, and we'll get some on our social media as frequently as we can. Not to bombard your feeds, but certainly to know, let everyone know that we do have this merch ready, and of course the other stuff that Ben does with his clothing label. So, yeah, stay tuned for more information. And, again, get in touch if you need more information. So, yeah, if you did enjoy this week's show, of course, we encourage you to subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us there, NLSC Podcast, or we've got the links all over the site and the news post as well. You can also find us on the Stitcher app for Android and iOS devices. We have post clips on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center, because we can't change that vanity URL, unfortunately, so that's the old full name of the site, but all our videos are there. And, of course, you can keep streaming it on the NLSC itself. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, we're on Twitter, @TheNLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/TheNLSC. And of course, the NLSC itself, NBA-Live.com, or indeed TheNLSC.com, for all your basketball video gaming needs. So, until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're out like Kevin Durant's smile after Peyton Manning's opening monologue.
Nice.